Hi, welcome back to Out of Focus. I'm Shannon Stewart, and today on the podcast, I have my awesome husband.
Wow, what an honor. When you said awesome, I wonder who your guest was.
Guess what day it is?
It is New Year's Eve.
Can you believe it?
It has been a fast year.
Incredibly
fast year, yeah.
My mom always used to tell me when I was younger that when I got older, time would go by faster.
I know. It seems like I just put my Christmas decorations up, and I put them up in September, but here they are, you know. Now, fortunately, I'm going to keep them up for a couple more months, but.
Oh, that should be fun.
Oh, neighbors will love it.
So do you have any New Year's resolutions?
Here's the thing with New Year's resolutions. I know a lot of people make them, and I guess we want to get better. There are things in our life like we, you know, maybe we want to lose weight, maybe we want to be in better shape, stop smoking, whatever it is. But it's interesting. The statistics say that of the New Year's resolutions that are made, 23% of them will be broken by the second week in January, 45% by the end of January, and 80% of them by mid-February. So just making a New Year's resolution, I'm not sure that there's a lot of benefit that comes from that. Yet at the same time, I think all of us, especially as Christians, ought to be looking like, how can I be more like Jesus? What could I do this year that I could look back on? I think all of us ought to be able to get to the end of the year, New Year's Eve, for example, and say, if I look back to last New Year's Eve, are there areas of my life that I'm more like Jesus this year than I was last year? I think that's valuable for all of us.
So, I love that. That's my goal for this year.
What do you want to work on?
I want to learn more scripture verses and where they're found. Sometimes I can quote scripture, but I don't always remember the verse.
A lot of people don't know that you get up every morning, and the way I know that you're up, I look under the door, and if the light's on, and all that, we got like 14 sound machines and a box fan, if they're off, I know you're reading the Bible. And I know that you've really taken that serious, and I'm really, not that you need me to be proud of you, but I'm honored to be married to a wife who takes just learning scripture that seriously. I appreciate that.
There's no book I'll ever read that could ever compare to the Word of God. It truly is alive. I'll meditate on a couple verses in the morning. I might be half asleep sometimes because I really had a deep sleep the night before, but meditating on it and starting my day with Him, it just changes the rest of the day when you keep Him first.
I had the benefit of, I called it cemetery because it was so boring, but seminary, and being able to study the original languages. And I'm not a super smart person, but I remember a lot of it, but it's interesting, even as you study those languages sometimes, or you're looking at a specific word and you see what the root of the word is or how the word came about, it's like every day I learn something new, and I've been studying the Bible and teaching it for years, and it is alive and it is active. And there are times that you could have read something 20 times, and then one day it will just explode in your mind, and it can be one of those life-changing moments. So I think that's so cool.
That's one thing I enjoy, because you've already been up for 2 or 3 hours.
3:30 this morning.
Yeah, so when I get up and you're like, Shannon, guess what I read in the Bible today? Guess what the Lord revealed to me? You got to come over here and see it, and then you tell me all about it. I love that, because you have been studying the Bible for years, but the Lord shows us new things, and words or verses can jump off the pages, and He imprints it on our hearts.
Well, I've always felt it's one thing to study the Bible and teach the Bible, but if you can't apply it, we just went through that series on the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus taught for 3 chapters, only I think 111 verses, so it's not a long sermon, maybe 15 minutes to read. But then at the end, He basically said, it's one thing to hear what I say, but if you don't take it and to apply it to your life, you're like the wise man, not like the wise man who built his house on the rock, but the one who built his house on the sand. And when the trials of life and the storms of life come, it won't stand up. And so at some point, you got to ask yourself, this is a great truth or this is a great insight, but what does it mean to me directly? And I think that's a lot better than a New Year's resolution. This is an area of my life where I need to do a better job of applying this biblical truth and principle. And then evaluate, maybe even get an accountability partner where you can say, hey, this is something I want to work on this year. The other thing is, going into a new year, I think the willingness to be open that God wants to do something in your life that could be totally new and totally fresh. I always thought about when Jesus taught about wine and wineskins, and I don't know much about wine and wineskins. You know, one thing I've always learned as a teacher, you have to teach on a lot of things you don't know a lot about, like sheep and goats or tares and wheat, and wine and wineskins is one of them. But what Jesus was teaching that day, and He was talking to the religious leaders who were just trapped in tradition what was comfortable for them. And he talked about, when I come into your life, I'm like new wine, and you can't put new wine in an old wineskin. And what he was saying is, an old wineskin is going to be dry and brittle. That new wine that you put in, it's going to ferment and expand, and it's just going to blow that thing apart like a balloon.
Like my jacket the other day.
Like your jacket the other day.
It was old and I had to throw it away.
That zipper is
gone. I'm so bummed.
That zipper is done. So I think going into the new year saying, Jesus, you may want to do something fresh and new in my life this year. And how receptive are we going to be to that? Because if we stuck in the old and Jesus wants to do something new, it'll wreck our world, it'll wreck our lives. We won't be able to justify it. It's kind of like when we got married, I remember you asking me, probably because you didn't ever want to be in this role, like, you're not going to ever pastor again, are you? And I said, no, there's no way. God would have to come down and sit across the table from me. Because here you are, you hadn't been in ministry, you hadn't been in that position.
I had my own kind of ministry, but not
as a pastor's wife.
Not as a pastor's wife.
But just imagine if we hadn't been open to the fact that God wanted to do something new, something out of left field, something that neither one of us saw coming. It's been, if we look back over this year, some of the lives that we have seen that have been changed, some of the experiences that we've been able to have. I think about you and I leading trips to the Holy Land. Who would have ever thought that we would be doing that and seeing how the Bible comes alive in the lives of people? You would miss all of that if you're just like, I'm just living by the book. I'm just checking things off. I'm reading my Bible. I'm going to church. I'm trying to be a good person, trying not to kick the neighbor's dog, make sure I pay my taxes. And Jesus is like, man, I got something that would blow your mind if you would just be receptive to what I want to do in your life. So I think sometimes as we go into a new year, maybe what's more important than a New Year's resolution would be, one, are there areas in my life that still need work? And let's just be honest. Hello, nobody would not agree to that. The second thing is, God, make me pliable so that whatever you want to do new and fresh in my life this year, I'm ready to receive. And then look back when you get to the end of 2026 on New Year's Eve and see what God has done in your life. I think you'll have a different perspective on things.
I would also encourage the listeners, or if you're watching on YouTube, to hold everything with an open hand. And if it's not God's will, then praise the Lord. And if it is, praise the Lord. Because if you release the control and the need to try to figure it all out, like, there's great freedom and peace in knowing that, no, he's got it. And if he doesn't bring it to pass, then he has something else better for you. Look, I've been working on a book for 20 years. I had one fall flat. I actually had two. I totally forgot about the other one. And so many hours and so much labor went into both of those books. I put my heart and soul into them. And one was due to a contract issue with Top Model. And I was devastated, disillusioned, heartbroken, all the things. And I don't want to say I gave up on it. And then it was recently, the past several months, that God put that dream back in my heart. So it's like something can be dead and he can literally resurrect it. And I have a literary agent now. I did not submit it to her. There were some doors that opened, I walked through, then they closed. Sometimes there was silence. It's amazing to see that this was truly all the Lord's doing. And I just obeyed by working on this book when he stirred me to. And there's something about listening to his spirit. He can stir us. I don't even know how to explain it, but there's a stirring to do something. And he's done that with different things in my life.
And it's been cool to be on the sidelines and watch how all that's happened. Yet, I think at the same time, I'm studying the book of Philippians, getting ready to teach through that. And it always amazes me that Paul was in jail for 2 years, waiting to see the emperor, in jail for something he didn't do, under house arrest, actually, chained to a Roman guard, and yet he writes a book on joy. And it just blows my mind, because seeing a dream like you're experiencing is incredible, and we all need that. We all get to experience that. What's harder is to realize that sometimes the death of a dream is also God's plan. For example, Paul wanted to get to Rome. He just kept saying, I can't wait to get there. I want to get to Rome. He didn't realize he was going to get to Rome, but he was going to get to Rome as a prisoner. But at the same time, Paul said, how cool is this? I'm under house arrest, chained to a Roman guard, and they were allowed visitation. People could come in. So here's a Roman guard, a Roman centurion, chained to Paul every day, listening to Paul give biblical counsel to people who came for advice, praying with individuals. And you know they were going back to the barracks saying, I don't know, dude, this is like no prisoner I've ever had. There's a joy, because he realized, and he even said, hey, worst case scenario, if I'm not here anymore, live as Christ, to die as gain. And so if you can get to that point, you can understand why you can be joyful because it has nothing to do with the externals. It has nothing to do with what's going on the outside. It's a choice. Like in my circumstances, if I really have confidence that God is at work in my life and he's working all things for good, then I'm not saying that you have to be happy if you lose a spouse or you lose a job or you lose a child. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying even then there's a confidence that as hard as it is, God is at work and God is up to something and I'm a part of it. And that's almost superhuman, but I don't think God teases us. I don't think he encourages us to do anything that's not attainable through his strength. I can do all things through him who gives me strength.
He's after an inward transformation within each one of us. As I look back on my life, I'm like, wow, like he's done this, he's done this. And it's been amazing to see, like you said, hopefully our next year's goal is to become more like Jesus. That's my goal. And so as we look back, it's like, wow, he used this trial, this testing, this wilderness experience to teach me about his character, to break things in me that maybe were idols.
So I have a question for you.
Yes.
If there's one thing you would love to look back on December 31st, 2026, and say, wow, this was the year it happened, what would it be?
I would love to get a book deal and to have my book published. It's not my book, it's really his story. And it's going to make me teary-eyed. Writing it has been a reminder of his faithfulness to me through my entire life. In the closet I slept in, on the random couches I stayed on, Australia, flying across the ocean, thinking that, oh, wow, he's going to bring modeling. He's going to start giving me jobs and opportunities. And it wasn't about that. It was more so speaking to his people, ministering to others, and even getting food thrown at me by homeless people that I was giving food to. And it just...
It must have been some bad food if the homeless people were throwing it back at you.
They did not want it at all, seeing that. Because when you're in it, like you said, you only see your surroundings. You only see what's happening. But God often was trying to give me spiritual eyes to say, hey, I'm doing something in you. Or, hey, I'm teaching you something about myself that's priceless. Hold on. You can make it. Take my strength. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. And I learned so many different things about his character. And if he brings it to pass, praise the Lord. And if he doesn't, I'm fine. Almost like I've been stripped of all of my desires and dreams. And I truly want God's will for my life, no matter what that is, because there's nothing that can compare to him.
Mine would be when everything happened and went down in a bad way. I think my biggest regret, and you know this, was that I always wanted to finish strong, and life just imploded. And so I feel like God giving me a second chance, it's like staying on track to finish strong, whatever that looks like. Years ago, I had the opportunity to spend some time with Chuck Colson in Southern California at a conference I was involved in also. And he was in the Watergate scandal, part of the cover-up under President Nixon years ago, and he ended up going to prison. But it was through that he started Prison Ministry Fellowship. And to see a life that went totally south, but then God restored him and put him on a new track, and then how he ended up impacting thousands, if not millions, of individuals. It's a reminder to me that God can take a mess, and God can allow you a second chance at finishing strong. And so I just hope this year to look back and say, it was a good year. I felt like I stayed on track. I did the things that God wanted me to do. I followed him every step of the way. The results are up to him. But yet to know that I was just faithful, that regardless, I've been faithful, it'd be a good year.
I want to look back and say the same thing. I've been faithful, Lord. When you called me to do something, I did it, even if I felt inadequate.
I'll hold your feet to the fire. You hold my feet to the fire.
Well, I remember you saying that after everything. You said that you wanted another chance to leave a legacy, and you didn't want that to be your legacy. And each one of us, we have no idea we're going to take our last breath. So every day is a challenge for us to crucify our flesh, deny ourselves, and take up our cross and to follow Jesus.
You're right.
That's another reason why I started this podcast, because how many stories have I shared and how many interviews have I had with other people that they wanted a second chance to? They found themselves in prison. You know?
And I hope the people that are listening today, I hope they'll go back and listen to some of them, because those are absolutely some amazing redemption stories. The phoenix rising up out of the ashes, some of them are absolutely amazing. And then to get to know some of these people personally, and you realize they're not just talking the talk, they're walking the walk.
Incredible stories.
Incredible stories.
Like from prison, and now they have companies and businesses, and they're impacting people's lives and their attitudes and how God has changed them and totally turned their ashes and gave them beauty and another chance. And it's amazing, because that is the God of the Bible.
Yep.
That is Jesus.
Yep. And I wish that for everybody this year. Not so much that they be successful in their New Year's resolutions, although that would be great too. But yet at the same time, to be able to say, man, you know, looking back, I've been more like Jesus this year. I've become more conformed to his image. And I know that won't happen until we actually get to heaven. But Paul does tell us in Romans chapter 8 that we're in the process. It's a goal that we should shoot for, and we can see that change begin to take place.
Sanctification.
Yep. Happy New Year.
It's crazy, right? Yep. Are you excited about the New Year?
I like good football. That's about
Oh, my word. I think I get excited because it's almost like a fresh start. I'm a dreamer, and I never know what God is up to. And it's like, oh, what is he going to be up to this year? Wow, what's going to happen? It's almost like you're turning the page in a book, and it's a completely, entirely new chapter. What's he going to write for each one of our lives? Because he has a plan, and he has a purpose for each one of us, one that we couldn't figure out if we tried, and one that would blow our minds if we would just see the full scope to it.
So let's make a date next year, December 31st, 2026. Let's sit down and let's review how the year went. I think it's going to be an incredible journey.
Would you like to leave the listeners with anything encouraging? Maybe this year was a rough one for them. And maybe they're looking at 2026 with not the light at the end of the tunnel kind of view. Maybe it's more dim.
What Paul said in Philippians, forgetting what lies behind, press on. Sometimes you just have to do that. You just have to pick yourself up. You can't change the past. You can learn from the past. And you move forward. You take a step and start moving forward. I have found in the last 5 years, you actually can just listen to God and follow him. And if you're following him, he will not lead you astray. But you have to spend time in his presence every day.
And keep your eyes on him. Because when your eyes are focused on him, you're not distracted by this phone call, this person, that situation, that sickness, that closed door. Every day, Lord, I'm going to keep my eyes fixed upon you. I'm going to start my day with you. I'm going to pray. I'm going to read the Bible. When I don't feel up like worshiping, I'm going to praise you. I'm going to thank you. My mom taught me that. She said that worship and thanking the Lord lifts off the spirit of oppression, and it truly does. It's a discipline. We have to commit to doing it.
And I think that's good for everybody, because maybe this year you've got a child that's not turning out the way you thought they were going to turn out, or a good friend who's not walking as close to the Lord, or even a spouse that maybe you feel like has got cold toward the things of God. Just remember what Paul said in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, when he wrote that letter to these Christians that he started their church 10 years earlier. He said, I am confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. And I think sometimes we have to step back and quit trying to be God. We love to fix people. You know that I love to fix people and solve things, right? And that's not always the case. But we have to step out of the way and let God do that, because he's the one who's going to bring their life to completion. It's a simpler way to have peace and joy in life.
And don't stop praying. My mom's coming up on the podcast in a few weeks, and she shares how—
keep on asking, keep on seeking, and keep on knocking.
Her mom and dad, after years and years of praying for them, they both gave their life to the Lord at their old age.
Yeah, and it may not be your plan. It may not even be your request. It probably will not be your timing. But
it will definitely not be our timing.
Yeah, in your process of ask, seek, knock, just keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. What it does, it brings your desire. You just know you're so in tune with what God is going to do that whatever he does, you know is the right thing. It may not be what you were asking for, but what you get, because you know you're on this journey with God, it's like, well, it wasn't what I was asking for, but for some reason, this is the answer, and I believe it's better than what I was asking for.
She calls herself the persistent widow. Mm-hmm. She kept coming back to his throne. Lord, I'm not stopping. Lord, yep. I'm coming back. Because it's discouraging, and it can get frustrating when you don't see any prayers being answered. You start asking yourself, does God really hear me? He does. He hears everything that you say, even though he may not be answering the way you want in your time. Keep praying. Keep petitioning.
Yep.
And surrender your desires. That's my encouragement for all you guys out there. Release and surrender your desires and what you want, and take a hold of what God has for you. Thank you so much for joining us today. Remember, when life feels out of focus,
there's always one who brings clarity.
We'll see you next time.
And it's not me.